So, it's a pleasure to introduce Joaquin Nakajima of Kyoto University. We'll talk about equivariant K-theory of modular sheaves on spaces.
Well, so first of all, I'd like to thank organizers for invitation to this nice place. So I will talk about, this is the title of my lectures, but in the first 2 days, I mainly talk about derived categories of coherent sheaves on AV space, not on the modular space. And in the last 2 days, I'll talk about K-theory or a derived category on the modular space. So first of all, what is ALE space? So ALE space is Kleppant resolution of the quotient singularity, so Cn divided by gamma, so where gamma is a finite subgroup of SLn. But so this is a so in physics it is usually called Ohlenfeld model. So and I mainly concerned with the case n equal 2. This is the simplest case. And but today and tomorrow I will talk a little bit about the case n equal 3. And this, so Kleppant means the canonical bundle of the resolution is trivial. And this is simple examples of non-compact Calabi-Yau manifolds. And the moduli of sieves or moduli of vector bundles on AV space is also Calabi-Yau when n equal 2, also non-compact Calabi-Yau. In fact, they are so-called hyperkähler manifolds. They are natural. So in n equal 2, the base manifold, namely ALE space, has a so-called hyperkähler metric. And this moduli space has a natural hyperkähler structure coming from the L2 metric and also the natural, natural induced hyperkähler structure coming from the base manifold. And so this modular space is what I call quiver varieties, and I studied this variety quite intensively several years, and there is some relation to representation theory of quantum groups on this quiver variety. So I will talk about this relation in the last 2 days. And the point of the theme of this lecture is some interaction between K-theories or derived categories of components of modular spaces. And sometimes the interaction between the K-theory of modular space and the base manifold. So this is the theme of the my lectures. And in the first 2 days, I mainly talk about the interaction between modular space and the base manifold. So I'd like to explain more precisely what do I mean about interaction. So on the modular space of sheaves, so you have a so-called universal family. So which is more precisely, so you have a universal sieve on the product of the modular space and the base manifold. So universal means that so some E script E on the product, such that if you restrict to the fiber of this home, so EE E plus X, so EE is a sum. This E is some point in the moduli space. So this is isomorphism class of the sheaf, and if you restrict this fiber E plus X, then it is isomorphic to E. So this is there's some technical issue in here. So in general, you don't have such object, such a universal sheaf in on the moduli space. But if you some nice case, it is so-called fine moduli space in algebraic geometry, then you have such universal sheaf on the product. And anyway, so I always consider the fine moduli space in these lectures. So I always have universal sheaf on universal sheaf E on the product. Then you consider the product of the moduli space, two copies of moduli space. You have an object in the derived category. So it's this sheaf R P13 star lower star of P12 upper star of E star tensor with P23 star of E. So E star is a Grothendieck Verdier dual of E. And PIJ is a projection of from the triple product to the two product. So you have a universal sheaf M cross universal sheaf on this M cross X, and you have also universal sheaf on X cross M, and then you put back the universal. So first for the first universal sheaf, you take the dual vector one, dual sheaf, and take the product tensor product in the triple product, and then you push what into the M cross M. So if E1 it's on the each fiber, so this the fiber of this sheaf is something like cohomology, higher cohomology of E1 dual tensor E2. So this is a natural object of the derived category of M cross M. And so M has usually infinitely many components, and each component are parameterized by Chang classes. And this is in fact more precisely a collection of objects of the derived category of products of the components of the moduli space. So M is decomposed into components, M alphas, and so this is object of the category of M alpha tensor, M alpha cross M beta. So this is somehow, more D is a derived category of coherent sheaves on the moduli space. So I want to treat at least in the last two lectures, I want to treat moduli spaces in equal footing. There are lots of there are infinitely many components, and I don't want to specify any single component. So this is democracy. So X itself is the base manifold is of course a component of M, because X is a moduli space of a point in the base manifold, or the modular space of skyscraper C of X. But I emphasize again, I don't want to give a special role in the Bayes manifold in the last two lectures. But yeah, in the first two lectures, I will say a little bit about, I will give a little bit of special role in X, but. So, and this picture, this democratic picture is probably natural under the homological Miller symmetry. So this. So under the homological Miller symmetry, this sheaf, which I just constructed, corresponds to flare homology for Lagrangian intersection. So let Lag LG be the moduli space of stable Lagrangian subvarieties plus the line bundle on it, so modulo Hamiltonian deformation. Here, so there are no precise definition of the stability yet. But anyway, so let me see. So I should even say something on here. So in order to construct a moduli space, So in algebraic geometry, it is known that if you can't hope to parameterize all sheaves, so then you get some if you try to parameterize all sheaves, then you get some very bad space. For example, so you can't expect Hausdorff property on the space. So in order to get nice moduli space, nice space which is, for example, you want to have a structure variety, then you need to throw away some kind of bad sheaves, which is called unstable sheaves. And so you can parameterize only good sheaves, so which is stable sheaves. And I don't explain the stability at this moment, but in the Miller picture, you don't have a corresponding notion of the stability for Lagrangian subvariety yet, but it is supposed to be there. The same as the moduli spaces of special Lagrangian plus flat U1 connection. So this is the so-called Miller of Kovacs-Hitchin correspondence. Anyway, so I suppose you have the nice moduli space of these objects. Then you have you consider the product of moduli of Lagrangian plus connection, more precisely. Then you have a family, more precisely, object of the derived category, S, whose fiber at the product L1, L2, the pair L1, L2 is the flare homology of L1, L2. So the homological Miller symmetry conjectures that this there's equivalence between the isomorphism between the Lagrangian moduli space and this moduli space M, the union of all components. And in here, so you don't specify the homology class of Lagrangian. So this Lagrangian also has infinitely many components. And uh, and the conjecture says that this F is identified this object. So in a general picture is, so you consider pair product of the moduli of D-planes, and then you have certain object of derived category, and you also you have some structure on it, so high unit product. And it seems this kind of formalism works for other string theories, which, but I don't quite know, but anyway, so this seems quite general framework. And so later on, this gives me a certain operator form, so the analog of operator formalism in quantum field theory. So so the moduli space of D planes, or sometimes I take its derived category or its K theory. So this is the Hilbert space in quantum mechanics. And this universal bundle in this moduli problem, moduli of sieves, and this Flair homology in this special in this Lagrangian picture gives me an operators on Hilbert scheme, on Hilbert space. So this operator is given by a convolution, so-called convolution product. So which I now explain. And anyway, so this is the way which I relate the moduli of sieves to representation theory. So I take the K theory of the moduli space of sieves on L space, and I define an operator on this K theory by using this universal bundle or modified version of it. And then this gives us, so the operator form an algebra, which is, in fact, which I will identify with quantum group. And this Hilbert space becomes a representation of this quantum group. So it seems that this kind of setting is somehow universal. And now I explain why this object on the derived category, on the product, gives me the operator on the derived category, so which is of course well known, but I try to explain again. So this is a so-called convolution product. So since this is important in my talk, I'd like to start with elementary example to help you understanding. So suppose you have a finite set X and Y, and suppose you have a function K on the product X cross Y. So I assume this function is a complex value. Then you have an operator from the set of functions on X to the set of functions on Y, given by this formula. So F is a function on X, then I define a function on X by this. So the summation over the space X, finite set X, of the product KXY and F times FX. So this is so-called convolution product. And we can replace the finite set by Euclidean space, for example. And in that case, you must replace the summation by integration. So you can define the similar operator exactly in the same formula. And for example, the Fourier transform of the function is given as a convolution and the kernel function k. K in this example is the expansion of I xi. And if x and y are oriented manifolds, then and if k is a differential form on x cross y, then you can define an operator from the space of differential form on x into the space of differential form on y by the same homeomorphism. So instead of the multiplication of the function, you just consider the exterior product of the differential form, and you still have an integration. There is some technical point in here. So if x is compact, then you can take integral, but this is too strong condition. So it is enough to suppose the support of k, the projection of restriction of the projection from the product to x cross y to y into the support of k is proper. This condition is enough. But if you have the certain control on the support of k, then this integral is well defined. And in this formula, if k is closed, then this operator map closed form into closed form. And in fact, it induces an operator on the Dwan cohomology. So, and is in fact, the operator is operator depends only on the cohomology class of the differential form. So suppose you have the class of Dwan cohomology product, then you can define the operator from the Dwan cohomology of X into the Dwan cohomology of Y. And under the same technical assumption, so if X is compact, it's okay, but you can it is enough to assume K is a class in the class whose support has proper projection into Y. So this is enough. So anyway, so this kind of framework is quite convolution product is quite general. So you have a similar framework in the K theory or a derived category. So the point is you need to have the product. And so first of all, so this includes, in fact, the pullback of the function. So f first, in order to consider product, you first consider f as a function on the product x cross y. So this is just, for the function case, this is just easy. But for other theories, you may need to define this kind of pullback. But anyway, so the what you need is the pullback and the product and the push forward. And if your theory have this kind of operations, then you can define the convolution product. So let X and Y be KSI projective manifolds. So the one of the crucial point in here, assumption here is I assume X and Y are non-singular. And I suppose I have a class element of the element K of the K homology group of the product X cross Y. So K homology group is defined as follows. So it's free abelian group generated by isomorphism class of coherent sheaves divided by the relation E is equal to S plus Q when you have this kind of exact sequence. And then you define the convolution product, convolution operator kx from kx to ky by this formula. So k star of alpha is equal to p2 lower star of p1 upper star alpha tensor k. So you must be a little bit careful about this formula. First of all, so I pull back the sheaf on x by the sheaf on x cross y. And in general, you can't pull back the class of K homology group by arbitrary morphism, because in that case, in general, you don't pull back, the relation is not preserved in general. But in this case, so since so the projection is just the product from product to the components, so this relation is preserved, so this is well defined. And next, I take the tensor product, and so before that, I'd like to define the push what lower star. So if f from m to n is a proper morphism, then we can define the push what in the k group. So this is k homology group is just the analog of the usual homology group. So not quite precise. More precisely, the k homology group is analog of homology group of locally finite chains. So you may allow infinite sum for the chain, but this sum must be locally finite. Then this homology theory is a factorial under the proper continuous map. It is not factorial for arbitrary continuous map for as in the usual homology group. But anyway, so for compact manifold, there is no difference for homology group and locally homology group for locally finite chains. And anyway, so if you have a proper morphism from M to N, then so the push what in the K theory is just the alternating sum of the higher direct image shift. And the product, tensor product, so if you take the naive tensor product of two sheaves, then it may not preserve this relation. So you must first replace K by a complex of vector bundles. So in this way, and then take the product for in individual term, and then take the alternating sum. So this is somehow so this replacement is an analog of Poincaré duality. So there's so if you assume the manifold to be the variety to be non-singular, as here, then you can replace the you have a map from the homology group to the cohomology group. So this is a Poincaré duality. And this means you can replace sheaf by a complex of vector bundles. So anyways, under those technical issues, so you can define the convolution operator exactly in the same manner as before. And if x and y are as above, and k is an object of the derived category of the product, then you can define the operator between derived categories. And this is a famous example of Mukai, the so-called Fourier-Mukai transform. So if you have an abelian variety A and it's dual A hat. Then, and then you have a so-called Poincaré bundle, so which is nothing but a universal bundle. So A hat is the modular space of line bundles on A, and P is a universal bundle. Then you can define the operator by this convolution product. And in this case, Mukai showed that this is an equivalence of derived categories. So this is precisely the analog of the Fourier transform for this function. So I want to use this idea of the convolution to have the description of the derived categories of the so-called Clapeyron of the Clapeyron resolution of the quotient singularity. So suppose G is a finite subgroup of SLN. And I consider quotient singularity, Cn divided by G. And suppose you have a Clapeyron resolution, X of the quotient space. So the Clapeyron means canonical bundle is trivial. And there is a theorem in this setting. So when n equals 2, this is due to Kaplan-Hund-Basedow. And when for n equals 3, this is due to Brejian, King, and Reed. And for some x, which I will specify later, but anyway, so the point is, as I emphasized, x, so you have an operator if between the modular spaces, convolution operator between the derived cut of modular spaces. So the point is that, so X, I want to describe this resolution as a modular set of modular space. Then this kind of equivalence is given by the convolution product. So anyway, so the precise description of X as modular space will be explained later. And in this case, there exists a natural equivalence of categories of between the derived category of so G equivalent coherent sheaf on Cn and derived category of coherent sheaf on X. And as a corollary, so this implies that Euler number of the discrepant resolution is the same as the number of reducible representations of G or number of conjugacy class of G. And this is so-called old-fold Euler number of the quotient Cn divided by G. So, and this kind of formula was used at the very early stage of the mirror symmetry. So, in order, to calculate the Euler number of the Calabi-Yau manifold, you don't need to study the Clapeyron resolution in detail. You just calculate the orbifold Euler number of this kind. So this is usually much easier than to calculate the Euler number for the Clapeyron resolution. So this is this theorem is somehow mathematical treatment of this physicist computation. in higher dimension, so they have some kind of sufficient condition to have this isomorphism. But in higher dimension, first of all, it becomes difficult to construct Kreponto resolution as a moduli space. So that is one problem. And in fact, in general, some singularity may not have Kreponto resolution in general. So in that case, I mean, the question doesn't make sense. So yeah, it is known that if you have Kreponto resolution, this result holds. But anyway, so this isomorphism is given by the convolution operator when you describe X as a moduli space. So this may not be, in general, for general Kreponto resolution, you may not have this kind of picture. So there's always some Kreponto resolution, which Kreponto resolution may not be unique. So there may be several Kreponto resolution. But if X is obtained a kind of moduli space, then this result always holds. And in dimension three, in dimension two, the Kreponto resolution is unique. So it's okay, but and in dimension three, it seems that all Kreponto resolution is obtained in as a moduli space. But it's still conjectural. For some example, in some cases you have Kreponto resolution, and sometimes it can be described as moduli space. But there are also some Kreponto resolution which so far constructed by some artificial, how to say, ad hoc method. So it may not be moduli space or something. So as I said, the point is obtain, describe X as a moduli space of G equivariant object on CN. And then the universal sheaf gives us the equivalence. So I want to explain how to obtain, to describe X as a moduli space. So first, you consider the naive quotient space, Cn divided by G. So this is nothing but the set of G orbits in Cn. And it contains, as an open set, consisting of free G orbits. So this Cng. So this is a non-singular locus of the quotient space. So the idea is quite familiar in algebraic geometry. So instead of free orbits, you consider the ring of function on them. So this is a diction. So in algebraic geometry, instead of subvariety, you should consider the functions on the subvariety. So instead of orbit, so G is GX, so this is a subvariety in CN, but instead you consider the ring of functions on G. So in this case, G is a function, G is a finite set, so this is just, functions on finite sets, so this is really easy object, but anyway, so it has these properties. So you have a surjection from the ring of function on the total space on Cn. So this is, in this case, I only consider the function which is polynomial in coordinates. So you have a surjective homomorphism from the polynomial ring to this space. And this is, since this is G orbit, this is G equivariant. So you have a G action on here, and the homomorphism is G equivariant. And since, so I consider this the case when G is a free orbit. So in this case, the ring of functions on this orbit is a G module, isomorphic to the regular representation. Then I taking this condition as a definition of a certain parity, which is called the G-Hilbert. So this is the set of quotients of polynomial ring satisfying these two conditions. 1, 2. So this is the moduli space of of so-called subschemes of G of Cn with satisfying these conditions. I mean, regular representation is by definition, it is the space of a function on G itself. But since this orbit is free, G is, and this orbit is a finite set which is just isomorphic to G itself. And the functions on the finite set, I mean, this is just a function on the finite set. So this is, by definition, it is isomorphic to regular representation. So I'd like to explain some example. In the example, I want to describe a point in the G-Hilbert. So I want to consider the simplest case. So when n, large n is equal to 2 and g is just g divided by 2 times d, so this constitutes two matrices of containing SL2C. So this acts on C2 by mapping G1, G2 into minus G1, minus G2. So this is a typical picture of the free orbit. But in general, not all points in G-Hilbert is of this type. So you can consider the limit when these points converge to the origin. Then, as a naive collection of points, then it converges to the origin with multiplicity 2. But if you consider this kind of finer structure, so this homomorphism, then you get this kind of limit, namely, so this line is represent a direction where those points approaches. So the limit, the homomorphism is given this here. So the ideal, the kernel is an ideal of this generated by z1 squared, z2 squared, and bd1 minus az2. So this is the function. This is the kernel is just a function which vanishes at the origin and whose derivative vanishes in this direction. So I think this is clear that the limit is of this, consists of this, the limit is of this of this type, because two points approaches in this direction. So in this special case, the point in G cube is either this type or this type. So this in this type is just this regular free orbits. And this orbit is so you have a parameter for A and B, and the scaling of AB just scaling gives us the same thing. So the point AB should be considered as a point in the projective line. So the G cube is a union of these two sets, and this is the well-known description, well-known resolution of C2 divided by plus or minus, C2 plus minus, and so it's nothing but a cotangent bundle of P1. And for n equal 2, by work of Roheimer and others, it is known that this G cube is always a Clapeyron resolution of C2 by divided by G. So in some sense, n equal 2 is very special, because in this case, Hilbert scheme. So Hilbert scheme is just the space parameterizing all these surjective homomorphism without G condition, without conditions on G. And in dimension 2, it is known that the Hilbert scheme is non-singular. And in higher dimensions, Hilbert scheme is known to have very bad singularity. So the two-dimensional case is really special. So in that sense, this result is quite easy. Yes. So G cube is a representative of the moduli functors of this. That is, so
you don't hear the set, so what's
so there are many ways to put the algebraic structure. For example, so you can describe G cube as a subvariety in the Grassmannian. Anyway, so you have a general construction of the Hilbert scheme as a project bar scheme due to Grothendieck. So you can use this machinery. But in this case, in his case, he parameterized higher dimensional subschemes, so it becomes difficult. But in this case, you can describe this as subvariety in the Grassmannian. Yeah. Nice. So you want to know this isomorphism? You mean I just explained that this G cube is a union of these two sets. So you have this type of element and this type of element, and you must study a little bit more. Then you can just identify this cotangent bundle P1. It's not so difficult. You mean I still.
No, I mean
I still don't speak about the higher dimensional case yet. Therefore, I'm still in here. Wait a little bit. So in dimension two, so G here is a clear quantum resolution, which is easy because you have a lot of nice things on Hilbert scheme itself in dimension two, not G Hilbert. So in this case, by a result of Fogarty, it is known that Hilbert scheme itself is non-singular. And since G Hilbert is a fixed point set of the Hilbert scheme with respect to finite group, so it is automatically smooth. And Bovio proved that the Hilbert scheme has a simple holomorphic symplectic form, so it implies that G here also has a holomorphic symplectic form. So in particular, it implies that the canonical bundle to be trivial. And Bridger and King Reed prove the same result, namely the case, namely G here is a Clapeyron resolution of C3 divided by G. And the proof is, so in dimension three, Hilbert scheme itself is not non-singular. So that this result is is quite essential to consider G here, not Hilbert scheme. The whole Hilbert scheme. So you have a quite contrast in these two about the proof of these results. And the proof is a certain consequence of deep result in commutative algebra. And so I don't want to explain the point, but anyway, so this is not so easy. So you must first check that this is non-singular, and you must check that this is Clapeyron. You have trivial. G equal identity. G here is just a point, so Cn. What? So regular representation. Regular representation, so the trivial regular representation of trivial group is just one-dimensional. So G Hilbert in this case is just single point, module of a single point. So as I said, so once you get the Clapeyron resolution as a moduli space, you consider universal sheaf, and you consider universal you consider corresponding convolution product to have an operator on. So this is. So you consider this diagram, so product of Cn, product of Cn and X, and you have two projection P1, P2. Then, so this diagram is G equivariant, where so G acts on Cn and G acts trivially on X. You define a functor C as a convolution, but you have a little bit. Difference in the general case. So the formula was of the convolution was this, but so I consider G equivalent. Object of G equivalent Dirac category on Cn, then I pull back to the product and then take a tensor product of the universal sheaf and take push forward, and then I take G invariant part of this object to get object of the derived category by X. Then, so those people show that this, it gives us an equivalence of derived categories. And the key step is to show that, to compute, so the inverse of psi is essentially given by the adjoint of C. So you consider the operator in the opposite direction by using the diagram in the reverse direction. So first you have object X in here, then you pull back and take tensor product of the dual of this and take the push forward in this direction. Then you want to study the composite of this convolution product. Maybe I should say that if you have X cross X, and if you consider the structure sheaf of diagonal, then the operator given by the convolution product of the diagonal is nothing but identity. So we want to show that the composition of psi and its adjoint is equal to diagonal. So this turns out to be this kind of statement. So you need to compute X of OZ1 and OZ. So Z1 and Z2 are point in G Hilbert. And this, so this is equal to the diagonal, then this means if G1 and Z2 are not equal, then this must vanish. And if Z1 and Z2, Z1 equals Z2, then this kind of condition. And this kind of computation, this computation is somehow it's related to the tangent space computation of the modulated space.
Because you're in n equals 2 or 3, but if you were going to higher n, then it should be c to the n choose i?
N to the, yes, wedge product of, yeah. I mean, so I should write in that form, but yeah. X is G cube in this case. I'm sorry, X is just G here. So in general, you should know. And I will explain slight generalization of this picture. So which is somehow a description of G-Hilb as an example of Kuiper variety. So recall that G-Hilb is G-equivalent quotient of the polynomial ring such that it is isomorphic to regular representation as a G-module. This homomorphism from polynomial ring to V is determined by the image of 1 and also endomorphism corresponding to multiplication of these coordinates, D1 to Dn. So I denote this image of 1 by V0 and this endomorphism by B1 and to Bn. So by definition, these are commuting family of endomorphism. Then, if you have this kind of vector and commuting endomorphisms, then you can recover this surjection. So you have an alternating description of G-Hilb as a set of vectors and endomorphism. Like here, you have this kind of condition. So V naught is, since it's an image of 1 and this is G equivalent homomorphism, V naught must be fixed by G. So you must V naught must be contained in RG. And Bi is an endomorphism of R, and these are commuting. And if you consider B1 and Bn as a vector, then this is G equivariant. So namely, it is element in Hom G of Q tensor R and R. And the last condition is the surjectivity of this homomorphism. So it means that if you apply this homomorphism to the vector many times, and then consider all these vectors, and you consider the span, linear span of these vectors, then it must be the whole space. It is because, I mean, it is simply because the all polynomial is obtained from 1 by applying, all monomials is obtained from 1 by by multiplying variables. So you have this kind. And this last condition is a kind of stability condition, which I didn't explain. But so this is a sort of open condition. And if you forget this, and I divide by the automorphism of G module of R. And if you don't put this condition, then the quotient space is not good space. This is a non-Hausdorff space. For example, the quotient topology gives us non-Hausdorff space. So you must throw away a bad orbit, which is the vector and matrices, which doesn't satisfy this condition. So this open condition plays role to get a nice quotient space. And you have an analog of finite dimensional analog of Kobayashi-Hitchin correspondence in here. And instead of this open condition, you impose moment map equation and take the quotient of the by the quotient by the unitary group of instead of this condition. The equation is of this form. So the commutator of Bi and Hermitian adjoint of Bi, and take the sum of I, plus the norm of V naught, norm square of V naught, times identity of R naught, is a scalar multiple of identity of R, where I decompose R as G module, so R rho I is irreducible representation, and rho naught is trivial representation. And Ri is a multiplicity. So I claim that this G cube is isomorphic to V naught and V one V n, satisfying the condition, three conditions. Same as above, but instead of the fourth condition, I put moment map equation. And then I divide, instead of this group, I divide by unitary gauge group. So the automorphism of R, which preserves the metric on R. So in order to consider the Hermitian adjoint, I need to put G equivalent metric on R. And for any, zeta is an arbitrary positive real number. So if you change zeta, then the space G, the space essentially doesn't change. I mean, it's just a rescaling of the data. So, so if you then if you use this momentum map equation, then you can move this right hand side more flexibly. So this right hand side should be just in the center of the algebra of this group, gauge group. So in this case, this is just scalar multiplied by the identity on each piece, but the scalar may not be the same. So in this special case, the scalar is the same, but so you have only one dimensional parameter. But in general, you can move more larger space. And main theorem holds in more general settings. So if you choose generic parameter in here and take instead of this equation, so you replace this by a generic parameter, and then still you divide by this unitary group to define a certain space. As I said, so when n equals 2, the Crepant resolution is unique. So you don't get any new example. But in n equals 3, you get some new Crepant resolution, and which still has, which you still have the equivalence of derived categories. And these different moduli space are related by so-called flop. So this G Hilbert and X zeta, the difference of G Hilbert and X zeta is just this condition, this kind of condition. So as I said, this analog of Hitchin Kobayashi correspondence also holds in this generalized setting. So the condition is not like this, but some strange condition, which I don't want to explain. So this X zeta is the quotient space of this condition and some extra condition divided by this group. And all have the isomorphic derived category, so which is all are isomorphic to the derived category of G equivalent sheaves on C3. But X, those G Hilbert, those new modular space are different, are not isomorphic in general. So this might be an interesting example which non-isomorphic space has the same derived category. So I'd like to stop here today. No, not quite direct. I just threw, in here. I mean, of course, it's the composite of the convolution operator. So it is again described by a convolution by a certain object in the derived category. But it depends. What do you want to be explicit? So in that, so as a composition of the convolution, it is somehow explicit, but
any other questions? Speaker again.